You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network. You can find us at...
Good morning, Waterloo Region. It is Monday, the 17th of August, halfway through the month already. Getting close to fall. We have a show today with new music from One-Eyed Oracle. We'll be talking to Boris Buho in a few minutes. Let's listen to All I Am from Really Small Town. One-Eyed Oracle, All I Am. You're listening to CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman, and I have on the phone with me Boris Buho from One Eyed Oracle. Welcome, George. Boris. Why do I keep saying George? I'm so sorry.
It's Boris. That was pretty close, Bob, and it is Monday morning. I'll let you off with that.
Thank you. So, welcome to the show. You're in Oshawa, I understand.
Yeah, Oshawa. I'm on the other side of the GTA, if you will, on the other safe side.
The other safe side. What's it like out there? Do you have a large music community out there to play at?
There is a beautiful vast array of talent out here. It's really incredible, and nobody. Well, I wouldn't say nobody, but most of the people have this vast amount of talent without the ego that is typically associated with that kind of gift. They're all in incredibly motivating, and it's such a beautiful, rich atmosphere to grow one's talent and develop, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I guess not so much at the moment with the COVID stuff happening, but music festivals, concerts, cooperative things that you play at with the community?
I do take part as much as time allows, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's a bevy of, well, in a typical year, you would say there's great venues, legendary venues, like along the line of the El Macambo and uh-huh. so on out here. It's just a beautiful place and wealth to not just admire as like like the namesake right. of Oshawa. When you see the billboard, it says "Prepare to be amazed." It's on a level where it's really interesting. You know, to be able to go into to a venue, watch live music, you know, 7 or 8 days a week, you know, it's amazing.
And I'll bet, not even repeating yourself once in a month.
Yeah. And everybody seems to be into it. You know, it's like most live venues, it's hard to get a crowd out, you know, because people are just so. Into their own regular schedule and routines, but you know the ones that do come out, you see the same faces over and over again coming out and supporting the community, supporting the rich artistry, and we need more of that. We need all, you know, this is something that crosses all genres. You know, live music is something that everybody can really get behind and promote, and we need more of that.
Yeah, live music is great, even if it's a genre that I wouldn't normally listen to from recorded music. Going out to a concert and seeing something that I wouldn't listen to on my own is always great. I've never been disappointed.
Yeah, and I love the way that, you know, when you come together as a community, you might not, you know, like what's happening on stage at that exact moment, but you can appreciate it in other ways, and you can fill up a bill of a variety of different tastes, and mm-hmm. it doesn't all have to be some monotonous kind of festival. I think that to explore really the greatest new discoveries in our world is going to be a mosh pit of sounds And as opposed to everybody trying to make an album that sounds uniform and of one kind of directive, you know, I'm really happy to see that, you know, even playlists on your typical streaming services are bridging and bringing together such a vast array of different tastes, and they all have, you know, that passion and talent and honesty and authenticity in common, but you know, you would never see them on the same album together for
right.
sure.
Right.
And this is one of the cool things about really small town, which is kind of a cool segue into this, bridges a whole different genres that, you know, when I was making the album, I wasn't specifically trying to do.
Right. Does really small town refer to Ottawa, Oshawa, rather?
No. It refers to all the small towns in our world and on all levels. So you can make that small town whichever you want. It can even be yourself.
Right. You've been appearing in online concerts. You were in our COVID fest, I think. And maybe even in the Isolation Fest before that. I'm not sure. That's where I first heard of One Eyed Oracle, was through our own DJ, Rob Steele, who put together COVID Fest back in July and got your album in and featured you on that. And that's where I first listened to Really Small Town.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was a lot of fun to do something live and tape that and be part of COVID Fest. That was the perfect, you know, example of a community coming together and rejoicing in music and you know, let's forget about COVID for a second and just get down to what we love and do best.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Now, what you were describing there with the community getting together and artists working together and having a huge variety of artists on a bill, for example, is exactly what community radio is trying to do as well. Does that give you the inspiration for writing music? Because you've written all this stuff yourself. The entire album, Really Small Town, is your music.
Yeah. It's definitely it brings out the best in people. You know, it keeps them honest. Let's put it that way. If it's not a direct inspiration, then you know it's very close for
right.
sure.
Right. We started off the hour with All I Am, which is one of the tracks on Really Small Town. That's an inspirational song for you, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a huge story behind that song because I'm going to be dating myself here, but I'm no spring chicken, and I started playing bass in the late '70s with a best friend who played guitar and fronted the band, and we had his brother who was a bit older, but he was a crack drummer, and so, you know, we had this tight little trio, and we were pretty brave in what we were playing and exploring. But this was at a time where people were traditionally into, like, rock and roll and new wave and punk and something that we just hopped on right away because of the energy and the excitement of it all. It wasn't this progressive rock, you know, endless solos. It was actually non-solo type of work that we saw, short bursted, energetic, you know, different, and I kind of got excited with that. But there was a root bass line that I started playing, and that was from the line from All I Am, and that kind of was spawned in that mix of interesting dynamics that were flooding my head at the time through radio. And predominantly David Marsden and CFNY.
Oh, I remember
director.
David Marsden.
So I, you know, was captivated by that bass line, and I kept playing it and playing it and playing it, and it just evolved into a song. And I wrote this little, you know, bridge part for it, really boppy bridge part in B, and it just made the song explode. And I thought, you know, this is a song now. It's no longer a warm-up drill. So, you know, I started trying to make something that fit it lyrically, and it didn't work out for years and years and years and years and years. And I've got like a pile. I mean, this was a labor of love, obviously, because I wouldn't let it go. I kept at it, and you know, basically 3 decades later, I needed to sing the words in the studio. I mean, it was already, you know, all the bed tracks, everything was there. and I still didn't have the lyrics. And basically, I had this poem, and it just came to me, and I thought, you know, I'm going to extract every line into a verse, a very short verse, and that became the song. And I mean, for me to be working on the lyrics for like 30 years and then just throwing it all away and just starting from fresh, you know, like the day before I had to go in and track that vocal,
wow,
was pretty brave of me. But it just worked out. It everything seemed to just fit so perfectly.
Yeah. So it's the track on the album with the longest history, but the shortest lifespan, if you will.
Yeah, and then I ended up putting a solo at the end of that song too, which kind of broke all the rules for my late 70s, punk rock formula, you know. So, you know, the song doesn't have any formulas. It's got like an intro, it's got an outro, it's got a bridge, it's got a, you know.
It's musically pleasing, but breaks the rules.
Thing next to it.
Yeah. You have another tune on the album, the title track for the album, Really Small Town, and that song has a history as well.
Yeah.
Give a quick introduction to that. We'll have a listen to it, and then you can delve into the details.
Absolutely. So the brief introduction of this song is, it was kind of like a fluke. It was, you know, as destiny would show, things that kind of doesn't fit in your life, or something that you find is just appallingly oppressive, or there's some level of injustice, and this happened with this song. And when I heard that Bayer Aspirin were buying or trying to buy Monsanto Seed Corporation, mm-hmm, who makes genetically modified foods, mm-hmm, that's kind of the point of inspiration that I thought, that's crazy. I've got to write a song about that. And that's where it came from.
That's where it came from. This is Really Small Town by One-Eyed Oracle.
Lord, indigenous people, this song dedicated to the world, 21st century and beyond. A colossus, I'm the musical sensation, Boros.
I live in a small town.
Small town.
I live in a really small town where my world never changes and the characters stay the same. I live in a small town.
Small town.
I live in a really small town.
Yeah, man.
The doctor's the mortician. The undertaker's my physician. Well, I live in a small town that gets smaller by the day. The doctor's a mortician. He digs my grave with every prescription. The banker is a repo man.
Trust me.
The banker is a reaper man. Well, I live in a small town that gets smaller by the day. The banker is a repo man. He lends me less and he steals by demand.
Hey.
The judge, he owns a jailhouse.
For real.
The judge, he owns a county jail. Well, I live in a small town. It gets smaller by the day. Judge, he owns a county jail. He locks me up and denies my bail. I live in a small town.
Small town.
I live in a really small town. My world never changes and the characters stay the same. I live in a small town.
Small town.
I live in a really small town. The mayor is a village idiot.
The 1%, the only constituents.
The citizens have become the deer.
Trapped by the light, enslaved by fear.
The word is security.
Freedom, more like the third degree.
The system owns all the fat.
The rich prey a victim, well justified that.
Well, I live in a small town. They get smaller by the day. I live in a small town.
Small town.
I live in a really small town. characters stay the same. I live in a small town. I live in a really small town. The farmer is the pharmacist,
hiding ingredients from seed to dish.
The toilet is the drinking well.
Them fracking mother nature's ripping with drills.
The hero is the war criminal.
Controls victory, hypocritical.
We get sold.
Or we get bought.
We get schooled.
Or we get shot.
Well, I live in a small town that gets smaller by the day. I live in a small town.
Small town.
I live in a really small town. My world never changes, and the characters stay the same. I live in a small town.
Small town.
I live in a really small town. My world never changes, and the characters stay the same.
Right around the globe.
I live in a small town.
Small town.
Some lyrics. I was talking to Boris while the song was playing, but kept getting distracted by the words that were playing in the background here. So I ended up putting Boris Buho from One Eyed Oracle, putting him on hold so I could listen to the words in the song. Excellent, excellent music.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's pretty intense. I mean, this is not flattering to the mayor of the really small town, the people who live there. Give
no,
me some background.
It's pretty critical in a sense of the hypocrisy and the double standards that seem to be a typical theme in our world. So, you know, I'm kind of showing a light on it. In a way that, you know, when you look at what's going on today, Bob, it's almost like it was written for the craziness that we see and what's going on. And it was hard to take the words and get as many of the hypocrisies that I did find in our civilization to fit into like a 4-minute type format. Have been an endless. This song could have been like, you know, the Tales of Ulysses or something. You know,
right.
It really it owns to the part that it became a rap song because, in a way, because I needed to just roll all of these hypocrisies out in a way that didn't fit each one getting its own verse. If you know what I mean.
Right. There's just not enough song to do. To describe all the injustices that are out there, yeah, you've been described.
Yeah, and you also want to keep a song fresh. You want to keep people thinking, not just about what the lyrics are saying, but you want to keep them put them on their own little journey, and the song is supposed to not put people to sleep or become monotone.
Yeah.
It's supposed to have some kind of live essence to it and surprise people at the same time. So
I can assure you this song does not put people to sleep. This is definitely something to grab your attention.
Thank you. So this has a really interesting history to it. I when I started chiseling the song, it took about a year to work on just the lyrics. So I had a chance to test it out and I was at Brian Gladstone. He's the festival founding director of Winterfolk, which is in its, I think, 16th season in the GTA here. And he has an open mic at the Free Times Cafe sporadically now, but every basically Saturday, and has a wonderful ensemble of players, and especially for accompaniment. And that's where I met Tom Gannon Hamilton and his wife. It's an interesting story. Is he and her were in El Salvador in the 80s during the whole Iran-Contra's rebel type of operations that were going on there. And he lost her somehow. She had passed to a suspicious drowning accident. So you can take that for what it is. But when he heard the lyrics of the song, especially, I guess, the part Contra's victory, hypocritical, that line, something inside him, you know, sparked, and he wanted to get involved with the project. So with Tom, Tom came in to the studio, Wellesley Sound, and he worked for like a, he talked for a half an hour and broke the ice with everybody, and then he worked for an hour and a half, and what he did is five kind of tracks of some background vocals. He did five tracks of violin, and he did three tracks of mandolin, and it took me the rest of the summer just to edit that to fit into the song, and I think it worked out, but it was just magical. And then the day I was there doing the final mix, just before I would go in and do my own vocal, that's where I met Kalask. And Kalask is David Dawkins. He's an indigenous artist from Jamaica, and I met him at the studio. And I said, you know, I really envisioned this rap part to be performed by a real rapper. I mean, I'm just going to be faking that section. And I would really admire if you could come in to the studio and help me out. And just like that, I just met him on a total whim, just happened to be, you know, overlapping my studio time. Mm-hmm. He came in a week later. He did all the responses for me in his beautiful Jamaican accent. And I ended up tracking the vocal right after him with that level of energy, and it was done. It was in the can. The whole song was ready to rock and roll.
When it comes together, it comes together well.
Yeah, it's like a divine intervention, if you will, or a natural progression of things that, you know, if you just take that first step, then, you know, that the intent is really all you needed to do.
Yeah.
It's just to be incredible how things work out. But I really, 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 really love that song. It's got 28 tracks, and 27 are all acoustic. And eighth track was my bass, and that bass line
makes
that reggae groove. Yeah, that's the only thing that's electric is my bass, and I plugged in direct. I mean, that whole feel, it's like a concerto, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. All the other instruments focusing on the one. Yeah.
But just to get back to the bass line, it really was bugging me because I didn't have a feel for the song. I had the song. I had the message of the song was very clear. I had the pretty much the lyrical melody and everything like that, but I didn't have the bass line, and I didn't want it to just turn out to be some spooky type song.
Right.
And again, I was at an open mic, and a bass player just jumped in and started playing this bass line to it, which was reggae. I didn't steal that. I wish I taped it, but opened up the door for that. And I would never have thought to put a reggae bass line in there, but it ended up being, you know, part of the hook of the song.
It is, yes. Extremely catchy, and that's, I think, what caught my ear and made me listen. Absolutely. You've been described as the social conscience of music. So you must have... This must be a recurring theme throughout the songs that you write. You know, the social justice, the righting of wrongs. Well, what other song on the album would describe something like that?
Oh, Castaway.
Castaway
is a really heavy, socially conscious song that really, the inspiration for that was, you know, to basically awaken that social integrity that we all have somewhere inside of us that is somehow misplaced or overlooked or excused away. And this is another song that maybe isn't talking about the hypocrisy that we see on an exterior level, but maybe some of the stuff that we have within. So that song's pretty evident with that message.
Let's have a listen to that, and then we'll come back. And I'm curious about your production techniques. We can talk about that and get a summary of Cast Away by One-Eyed Oracle here on CKMS Community Connections.
Hey, little child, can I tag along with you? Playing in the garden, sowing care in all you do. And hey, little child, can I put away my spear? Come with an open mind and leave behind my fears. Leave behind. Leave behind my fear. Hey, little child, do you know my way home? Will you drive through the quagmire that rips apart our souls? And hey, little child, can you pick up a car? Can you plant it in the ground to make up for all the scars, all the scars? All my scars. And hey, little child, can you fill my heart with love while absorbing all the poisons that were used to spill my blood? And hey, little child, am I brave enough to see? After building walls around me and throwing away the keys, thrown away, thrown away the keys. Child, were you born before your time? Can you open all the doorways and climb outside your mind? And hey, little child, can I spread my wings and fly? Am I strong enough to cast away the bonds that keep me tied? Cast away. Cast away.
Caught me by surprise there. An extra cadence at the end there. Cast Away by One-Eyed Oracle, and we have Boris Buho from One-Eyed Oracle on the phone with us. Another catchy tune, Boris. It's more, not reggae exactly, but certainly with a calypso feel to it.
Yeah, thank you. That's kind of like my Eastern European influence, I think, growing up listening to the folk that kind of resonated from that era, and the influence of my parents that weren't quite ready to adopt, you know, what my elder sisters would be into, like the Neil Diamonds and Neil Sedakas and the Neil Youngs, right? That's much later, but You know, they were still into the Nana Mouskouri and
one of my mom's favorites too.
You know, these kind of Ivan Rebrov Russian folk.
Yes, I remember Ivan Rebrov as well. It's was big on the radio back in the 1970s, I think.
Yeah, and
five octave range.
Yeah, definitely. There was like a resurgence there of things that were happening coming out of the Eastern Bloc countries that that wouldn't have been able to penetrate without some kind of a glasnost or eye on that part of the world. Yeah. But definitely, there's some sort of a gypsy feel there for sure.
I can certainly imagine the ladies in the applique and needlepoint skirts dancing to this.
Yeah, you know what? I was just thinking this would be good for Oktoberfest too, like something a little bit different, but not your traditional polka.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of song that it could be a reggae song, it could be a polka, it could be a folk song, it could be all these things kind of wrapped into one.
Uh-huh.
That anything that has that kind of a tempo and it's just so, revolving. I mean, nothing seems to happen in the song. It just repeats. There's three verses, a solo, and then the last verse. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's the end of it. And the interesting thing about the lyrics is that they kind of came out fairly quickly for me. And this one didn't take 30 years. Most of the songs that I write can be done within a very short period of time. We're talking like under a day to mm-hmm. get the main gist of it, and then chisel around the edges at things as they come. But that's kind of the way that I typically write. But the song was done like years ago, a couple of years ago, and I just recently had a dream, and it's pretty strange. I should go into it. Because you'll have no idea why this happened, but I had a dream that I met Bob Dylan, and in a New York subway kind of an area and a concourse somewhere. And I've never been to New York City, but it was New York City, and I was totally lost. And I saw him; he was just like standing there. So I walked up to him and I said, "Excuse me, sir, whatever. Can you tell me where the subway is?" And he started saying, "Hi, Boris." And I was going, "Oh, I didn't know that you recognized me. Somehow we had met, years ago, maybe a schmooze fest somewhere along the line." And I didn't expect him to recognize me, but he did. Anyway, to make a long story short, he showed me where the directions, and I woke up at basically, 4:30 in the morning. That musing hour that writers and poets and people of artistic integrity, if you will, are channeled to get up and work. And I went and rewrote the song to Castaway, and I rewrote it in a way that changed the motive from treating people like they were children to actually speaking about the innocence within children, and just that little change in the song, I had to just tweak the lyrics just slightly to just put it from that perspective. And then I went into the studio last fall and redid all the vocals and re-sang it and remastered that song completely.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. It was a labor of love. One of the songs, She's Everything, I literally had to, I was never really happy about the lyrics, but I actually took about four stabs singing the vocals to that song over 5 years. And 5 years is how long the album took to create, so it's been a long journey.
Yeah. Is it? I didn't see other albums listed on your website. Do we have other music that we could add to our digital music library?
Well, I do through a different name. 12 years ago, I produced and recorded an album of originals under the name United Truths.
Uh-huh.
UNITED Truce, TRUCE.
Oh, United
and that
Truce.
Has
oh, right. Yeah.
From 1041 with songs uh-huh. like Petrified Race and We've Got to Change and Hey You and It's a Shame and others. So there's another part of the catalog that that is you know pretty untouched. I did distribute that throughout the community and okay. and things like CD Baby, but it was never commercially released.
Okay, well, if you'd like to get some more airplay for that, please send it to us here at CKMS Community Connection, or send it to the radio station.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have it.
And it's an open invitation to all musicians, all artists out there. If you've got material that you'd like to have put on the radio, send it to us at office@radiowaterloo.ca, and we'll make sure it gets into the digital music library. It's part of the function of a community radio station to get the music out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That should be in your archive as well.
Okay. I'll have to have a search around for that because it didn't come up when I was preparing the show today. You said you were back in the studio, and we've been listening to what? We've heard only three tracks. I mean, here we are, 45 minutes almost into the show, and we've only heard three tracks from your album, and they've all been very, very different. What sort of instrumentation do you have? What do you have in the studio to play on?
Well, in my realm, I'm traditionally a bass player,
uh-huh.
and so in the late well, actually beginning it was early 80s, sorry, around 82, I bought a bass, and this is a Squire Jazz knockoff, but that was at the time that Squire was making better basses than Fender.
No.
So it's a beauty, and I've always, it's been really my treasure and only bass. And I've got a Larrivée acoustic guitar that I invested in. It was used, but I captured it mm-hmm. at the 12th fret, and so that's really my only acoustic. And then my electric is it's a Strat. Fender American Standard, and I got that in the early 90s. So yeah, basically between those three instruments, and I'm not a drummer, so all the drumming, it was done live at a local studio in Curtis, here in the Germ region.
Okay. Yeah.
And Jack the Kaiser's nephew, Matt O'Rourke, of Matto Music, did all the percussion for me. So all the bed tracks and the bass were kind of funneled through that studio. And then I did touch-ups and edits here in Oshawa in my home studio. And all the polish, the lyrics, the vocals and electric guitars and so on, were captured at Wellesley Sound, and we also mixed and mastered there as well.
Okay.
So there's basically three studios that went into it. What I learned the first time is that a lot of the editing, the painful kind of, comparing tracks, because we're not Celine Dion. I'm not, anyway. Like, I can't go into the studio and sing one song for 8 hours. I just wouldn't be able to laugh. And I can't afford to do that.
Oh, yes. Studio time is expensive.
Yeah, I'll try it for like an hour, and then boom, it's go home and compare it. And if I don't like it, then that was a waste. You have to decide. You have to be a big boy and have some kind of level of integrity, because you don't have anybody else to bounce ideas off. It could be very scary, but it's the trade off is that you're in control, right?
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about being able to get the recording equipment under your own in your own studio, that you're in control. You can decide how much time you want to spend without having to look at the clock and count away the dollars by the minute.
Yeah, and I'm not saying to be 100% prepared. You need to go in there with a loose enough feel that if something comes up, if an idea kind of takes you and drags you into one way, to just trust yourself and surrender to it, because that's when that creative mojo really starts. Mm. It's in the studio and it's unrehearsed, and you're amazed at what can come out of you, given just that openness to express that.
Right.
And there's something about preparedness, but there's also something about leaving it loose enough to have the magic happen as well. That's fundamental.
Is there something else on the album that would showcase the instrumentation?
For the instrumentation, I guess "Love So Hard" is the last song of the album.
Okay.
And it'll probably tie up everything quite nicely as far as the different genres are concerned. It's as far away from a rock, but it's got some kind of a Pink Floyd feel to it, I've heard. So
everybody loves Pink Floyd.
And the gentleman from the 80s band Refugee, the lead guitar player, a good friend of mine, Rob Kennedy, he does the slide guitar on it. And again, with Matt O'Rourke and the Wellesley Sounds, Jeff McCullough does some keyboard pads on it.
Okay.
I played the bass and the rest of the guitars and vocals. So that would be a treat to hear for sure.
Okay, let's have a listen to that. That's "Love So Hard." We're talking to Boris Bujo from One Eyed Oracle, and this is from the album "Really Small Town, Love So Hard."
Break of day compels my heart to beat again, a brand new start, to search my soul where angels may tread, for that one feeling that stills my heart. Fall upon a jagged knife, the stir of ghosts that reach out to me, the blur of worlds where wisdom is free. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. So hard. I'm in love. Thank you.
Love So Hard, One-Eyed Oracle, and Boris Bujo. Boris, that was very, very Pink Floyd-like.
Yeah.
Did like the slide guitar on that.
So yeah.
Your album came out in the middle of April, which was full-blown COVID panic pandemic, I think.
Right.
And that must have put a big crimp into your release.
Well, I felt like the release was dragging, and the album in general, the production, it was a five-year kind of life investment, and I wanted to complete it, no matter what. So when I decided to get it finished and master it and get some albums, by the way, I've got some CDs that we can give out to your cherished listeners as a promo, whoever calls in and asks for one, at least we can at least give them something of a token of our appreciation for this in today. So it got released on 4/20, which was a Monday, and I didn't expect anybody else to be releasing it on April 20th, which is, synonymous with
day, yes.
Cannabis Awareness Day. And it's kind of like a running gig that I had at Relish Restaurant in Toronto, which is a huge hotbed for live music, and a lot of great players filter through that venue. And the owner, she always kind of keeps that date for me for some reason. I don't know what it's associated with. I don't know. So, it got a really great bang on Canada High magazine. We were featured on a center spread for that illustrious magazine, rated one of the top 20 in Canada. So that was a brilliant coup, and I want to thank everybody there for that. But the show must go on, and we put our best foot forward and released it.
Yeah, but all the live shows you had were canceled, and
yeah, they're all canceled.
There's something amiss with going out and performing, in a room full of people partitioned off from the stage, everybody keeping their 2 meters distance, everybody wearing masks and possibly gloves and who knows what else. That doesn't sound appealing.
Well, this is kind of like the songs like Really Small Town that are taking these kind of actions to task, because, for me to go out and do a COVID public message announcement, the worshiping the frontline workers who have basically been used as guinea pigs. I mean, seen this coronavirus before. It's brand new and nobody knows. Everybody's learning, from the seat of their pants. I find that a little strange. And to sit things out isn't too unnatural, but at the same time, I don't want to just jump back into that atmosphere of fear. It just wouldn't promote a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. So that means that any touring that you might have had planned is on hold until future notice.
Yeah, I think the best thing is to wait and see of what's going on. It's what's terribly unfair is that venues have to close, and not be able to make a living, and their staff is suffering as a result. But I mean, $2,000 of emergency funding, gross. Let's be honest. Isn't really enough to pay your monthly bills and live in a country like Canada. It's just not enough.
It's a supplement. It's certainly not a livable income.
It's not a livable income. And you know, I feel really bad for the people that own these venues and the people that they employ, because they've been largely shuttered, and now they're the ones that are trying to, now they have to also prepare for a COVID realism and invest money that they don't have necessarily to make all these updates.
Yeah.
And a case in point is this club in Toronto downtown. I'm not going to mention it, but they spent $300,000 on a COVID preparedness upgrade to their venue in order for them and their patio to, you know, take advantage of just being in business.
Yeah, yeah. And
you know, and we call artists poor to begin with, so you know, it's really not fair. It's not fair.
Yeah. It strikes hardest at those who can least afford it.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, isn't that the interesting part of this?
Yeah, always is. So, any new music happening? Have you been struck by the muse?
One of the funny things that I did in order to get the last bit of funding for the album is I picked up a full-time job at GM.
Ah.
And this was on the truck assembly line, and I worked on the last truck that rolled off the line in Oshawa. So that was like a seven-month work stunt and or stint, and it was stunted as well because I got laid off. but that was fascinating, and everybody, you know, because of all the different dynamics between the union, between the government, between global corporations, and between ourselves, the people that find ourselves squeezed between all of these humongous players,
mm-hmm.
are kind of marginalized, and there wasn't a lot of happy people when I started working there, I'll tell you.
Right.
But there's a song there for sure.
We're going to leave you, Boris, because the hour is up. Went by much too quickly. I'm going to take us out with Black Days from One-Eyed Oracle. And Boris, I want to thank you very much, Boris Buho from One-Eyed Oracle, for spending the entire hour with us this morning. Thank you ever so much. Hope you can come into the studio at some point when things have calmed down a little bit, and we'll do this again.
That would be my pleasure. Thank you, Bob, and thanks to everybody at CKMF.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to CKMS FM 102.7 Radio Waterloo. CKMS Community Connections is a production of Radio Waterloo and sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Co-producers are Jeff Steger, Jordan Dorans, and Dylan Gravener. There'll be a repeat show on Thursday at 2 p.m. My name is Bob Jonkman. It's been nice spending an hour with you.
If you run, you better run fast, 'cause